you're listening to a brand new edition of Clan Chat, and it's a special week ahead as we get ready to celebrate Pride. I'm Craig Anderson, and we're on the brink of an amazing weekend as the Elite League joins together to spread the message of inclusivity and that you can play. Coming up on this week's show, Elite League Media and Communications Manager Luke Fisher tells us all about it, while Clan's Head of Business Development, Jerry McLaughlin, reveals what's happening from a Clan point of view this weekend. With Matt Hayward's testimonial just a couple of weeks away now, we catch up with two more players taking part, and it's two former captains, as Ash Goldie and a guy called Zach Fitzgerald join us to discuss their participation. We also catch up with netminder Jordan McLaughlin after a week that saw him between the pipes because of injury to Patrick Killeen, and get his thoughts on what it was like to be back playing in the Elite League again, and he previews this weekend. Plus, we have a fresh Clan conundrum for you too. Welcome to Clan Chat.
Hey, Purple Army, Fitzy here. Welcome to the podcast. Enjoy.
Clan Conundrum time, as we tickle the brain cells for the duration of the show and let you test your clan knowledge. Sunday sees Glasgow take on Five Flyers at Brayhead Arena in the last of the three games this weekend. When both teams played each other in Glasgow and Hogmanay, one player for the clan picked up three assists as part of the 5-1 win on that day against their biggest rivals. Quite simply this week, who was the player who got the three assists? We'll bring you the answer at the end of the show.
Hey, this is Matt Hayward and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Rounding up the games from last week, we started with the Challenge Cup semi-final last Wednesday, but you'll need to hear last week's Clan Chat as we covered it then. So we move on to Thursday, when Zach Fitzgerald took his team to Nottingham Panthers as they had a swift return to league action. It was a closely fought affair that went the distance as Nottingham Panthers edged the Clan 3-2 in an overtime result that really could have gone either way. Brett Perlini opened the scoring in the first period, but that was cancelled out by Scott Tansky shortly after, with Chad Rowe firing Glasgow in front during the second period. Panthers got back on level terms through their captain, Sam Hare, and with both sides locked at two, the game needed a period of overtime, and it was Jake Hansen who settled it with a well-hit shot to claim the extra point for Tim Wallace's side. Glasgow were back in action on Saturday against Belfast Giants in what was a strange and frustrating night as the Giants took a 5-2 win away from the west of Scotland. A penalty-laden first period saw Belfast play a man down for 13-14 minutes in the first, but Glasgow just couldn't connect on the power play at all. Yet, the Giants managed to find a way past Jordan McLaughlin in the Clan net as Liam Morgan scored, would you believe, on the power play. The second period, or at least 98 seconds of it, really turned the game as Belfast scored four times to leave the home fans shell-shocked as Ryan Lowney, Lewis Hook, Elgin Pearce and Morgan with his second of the night put the Giants 5-0 up inside 25 minutes of the game. Clan got on the board in a much more composed second half of the game as new signing Marcus Johnson and Matt Becker on the power play got a couple back, but the damage was done, making it one win in six for the Clan on current form.
Hi, this is Matthew Roy. You're listening to Clan Chat.
In just under 2 weeks, the great and the good of Brayhead and Glasgow Clan will all come together to celebrate the career of Matt Hayward, and we're all looking forward to what will be an incredible night. We've got two more interviews to bring you this week as the All-Star roster is completed, and it's two former captains who share their thoughts on their former teammate and their excitement to be playing in this game on Tuesday, the 4th of February. First up, we'll hear from Ash Goldie, who played for the Clan between 2012 and 2014, and actually swapped Las Vegas for Glass Vegas at the time to end his career in the Elite League. He played 112 times, scoring 69 goals and made 87 assists, totalling 156 points. And Goldie also played in a Challenge Cup semi-final and the playoff finals weekend too, during his time in Scotland. I caught up with him earlier this week to talk Matt and the big game, and he's admitted he's been counting the days until he comes back.
Yeah, it's creeping up here pretty quick, and excited to get back over there for sure.
Now, of course, you played with Matt for a couple of years. What was it like to play alongside Matt Hayward at that time?
Well, it was great. You know, he was one of those guys that you wanted on your team. He was, you know, a great teammate, and he wanted the best for everybody on the team. You know, no matter what role he was put in, he never complained. He just showed up to go to work, and you know, that's what you want with your teammates. So yeah, he was I'm glad he has invited me back over for this game, and really looking forward to it.
And of course, there's a whole load of names there you recognise, not and others not so much, maybe through reputation. How much are you looking forward to meeting everybody involved? You mentioned there just before we recorded about the guys you haven't quite met yet, for one.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, the hockey world's small, so you cross paths with people, and they know people that you know. So, you know, just getting back over there, and to be honest with you, after retiring, that's what you miss the most about the game, is sitting around in the locker room with the boys. And you know, that's one of the things I'm most looking forward to, is just, you know, showing up to the rink early and you know, sitting in that locker room with the guys. And I don't get the chance to do that anymore. And to be honest, that's what I miss the most about it. So, you know, just having a chance to do that again, it will be fun.
Now, you played for the club between 2012 and 2014. It was Jordan Kristanovic who brought you over after he took over as coach. And I was looking back at your career. You actually swapped Las Vegas. You were playing for the Wranglers for Glasgow Clan, or for Brayhead Clan, as it was at the time. What made you give up the bright lights of Vegas for Glasgow?
Well, I had been over overseas to play prior to that, but my oldest boy now, Hunter, he was due to be born around that time, and my wife wanted to stay back in and have him back at home. So it just worked out that you know, I had a chance to go play in Vegas. I thought it would be fun, and Hunter was just born, so he was a newborn living there. And then I had played with Jordo in Victoria, so I had the opportunity to play with him. And then he gave me a call to try to get me over there, and I thought it would be a good move. So that's how I got there.
So it was a lot of fun for you. You had the 2 years at the club. Of course, the first season, I think in reflection, maybe wasn't the best season, but you stayed on for a second year under Ryan Finnerty. How was that for you? Was it a bit of a change in style when you went from working under Jordan and then later Paul Gardner to working with Ryan?
Well, to be honest with you, I enjoyed playing under all of them. You know, things didn't work out with Jordo. You know, but it was a fun time, and you know, we all worked hard. We had a good group of guys, and those types of things happened. And you know, guards came in, and I really enjoyed playing with him, playing for him. And you know, he taught me a lot of things, which I, you know, carry on. I'm coaching my young kids now, and you just learn things from different coaches, and they have different styles. And you know, and then Finner came in for my second year, and I enjoyed it there, so I came back regardless of what happened the previous year. It was a good spot for my family, and you know, I definitely enjoyed my second year there as well. So I wish I could play longer, but it was just that's the decision I made to stop when I did. And you know, but my time there for the 2 years was a great experience for sure.
Now, Shane Lust revealed to us a couple of weeks ago that there's a WhatsApp group that I think all you guys are involved in. I'm assuming you're in on it as well. So how's the traffic between you all as we get closer to the big game?
Yeah, there's a chat there, and you know, I stay out of it, but I see what all the boys are chirping each other on there, and it'll be fun to get back and see some familiar faces for sure.
Now, we talked about, obviously, what it was like to play alongside Matt Haywood in that time. But when you look at him now, he's the club captain. He's obviously taken on the role you had with the club when you played. Was that a natural transition for him when you think of what he was like then to where he is now?
Oh, I think so for sure. He's just, you know, he's a leader, and, you know, he's just your ultimate team guy, and that's what you want in a captain. So I feel it comes very natural for him from when I played with him. That's just the type of guy he is. And I know when I came there my first year, he was a younger guy, but even still, he made sure I was comfortable, and if I ever need anything, he, you know, come to me and I'll help you out. And you know, that's just the type of guy he is. So it's great he you know, gets to represent the clan as the captain now, and he's for sure most deserving of it for sure.
So how's the training regime as we build up to the big game? Only a couple of weeks to go. Have you been hitting the ice and practicing the old moves again?
Oh, that's non-existent. To be honest with you, I I haven't played much at all since I retired. I am on the ice quite a bit, but just coaching Hunter and my little guy, Barrett. But as far as playing in games and whatnot, you can count on your hand to how many times I've hit the ice and done that. So it'll be a challenge for me for sure. Let's just say I won't complain if I'm on the fourth line.
So let's catch up with you then. What have you been up to in the last 6 years since we last saw you, Ash?
Well, I'm working for the family business here in the pharmaceutical business, so that's keeping me busy. And to be honest, I spend a lot of my time with my kids. That's, to be honest, the main reason that I did stop playing. I wanted to, get them settled at home and get them into things that they wanted to do and put my time towards them. And that's what I enjoy doing, and that's what I spend a lot of my time in the rink still, but it's coaching the young kids and giving back from everything that I've learned from my experiences of playing the game and trying to give back to them and have them find that same love for the game and bring up that next generation. So I'm really enjoying that. My daughter's in competitive gymnastics, so spending a lot of time with that as well. So yeah, life's busy, but like I said, I wouldn't have it any other way. So
excellent. And just to finish off, it's a question I ask everybody. As soon as I mention the name Matt Haywood to you, what's the first thing that comes into your mind when you think back?
For me, it'd be a class act. He's just that guy that wants the best for everybody. You know, he's not that selfish type of guy. He's always looking out for other people, and that's what sticks with me. Even just the fact, I remember it's a little thing, but it was big for me back then. I had a couple young kids when I played with Maddie, and he was a younger guy, and he would always make an effort to come over and hang out with my kids and play with Hunter and Kinsley, and he would get them. I believe it was him and Mike Will for Hunter's birthday there. They got him a Buzz Lightyear costume, and he wore that for Halloween, and then all my kids wore that when they got to that size. So just little things like that you remember that stick out to you, and he's definitely definitely a great guy, and very excited and honored for him to invite me back to play. And most importantly, spend some more time with him face to face, because if that's what you miss, you build all these relationships in the hockey world, and life goes on, and you don't really get a chance to see each other. So that's the best thing about this, is you get to go back and see some guys face to face, and talk about old times and what you've been up to, and it'll be really exciting.
Hi, I'm Lyndon Springer, and you're listening to The Clan Chat.
That was the voice of Ash Goldie. The other player taking part is a man well known to us now, of course, and we're used to the sight of him wearing a suit behind the bench these days, but this time he's going to play against his own team. For one night only, Clan's current coach, Zach Fitzgerald, will lace him up and play as an all-star against his current crop of players. I got hold of Zach to talk about it, and he admitted he was getting nervous as he waited by the phone.
Oh, man, I've been waiting for the call-up all season. He's making me sweat. He was making me sweat, I thought, geez, I got a lot of my former teammates there from the 2014 season. I might get a shot here, but no, only joking. No, I'm really excited. These testimonial games are so, so awesome to be a part of. What it means to the player and his family is outstanding. To have that loyalty to a club for 10 years is special, and to be a part of it is something you won't ever forget, and I think it's cool, all these events leading up to it. The fan support has been immense. I think the tickets were just blew up the first day, and they continue to sell, and that just shows you the respect that he deserves, and the guys that he's bringing back, that shows you the respect they have for him right there too. These guys are either playing in this league at the moment, maybe playing in another league, or coming from home and working, and they're spending the time to come show their respect to Mr. Haywood, and to be a part of it's going to be just so much fun. I think the fans are really going to enjoy it. You got some big names coming back through, and I can't wait to play against our team. I cannot wait to dangle a couple of these guys. They don't know what's going to hit them, I'll tell you that.
Now, I think you said before you've been involved in a couple of testimonial games when you were at Sheffield. I think Jason Hewitt was maybe one of them. So for the fans that maybe haven't been to a testimonial game, what can we expect? What can we expect on the 4th of February when Matt's game comes around?
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to play in two of those. Well, I wasn't able to play in Jonathan Phillips, but I played in Jason Hewitt, and I was injured for Jonathan Phillips, but I was the on-bench coach there. And I just think it's an all-around fun event. You got former players, you know, really recent players too, that some were fan favorites, some were, you know, big names scoring goals and putting up a lot of points. And, you know, a lot of these guys are actually from that season we had when we finished second place where, you know, we just lost out there in a minute. But what to expect is just a ton of fun. You know, the thing with hockey players, whether they're retired or not, and by the looks of the roster, I think it's actually going to be quite a competitive game where you find maybe in the past, you know, maybe have some gents that haven't been on the ice for a while, but you know, you'll see some fun, some goofing around, some guys trying to pull some crazy stuff, but essentially these guys just living their childhood dream of playing hockey all out here and representing Mr. Haywood and showing their respects to him, like I continue to say, because he deserves it. And just all around trying to get everybody involved. You know, it's a way for fans to give back to a guy that's, you know, bled and sweated for the Clan for 10 years and give everything he has for the team. And you know, like I've mentioned before, he's having a great season this year, which is even better. You know, he's wearing the C, he's playing a ton of minutes, he's really, really having a great time, and the guys in that locker room at the moment respect him immensely. So it'll just be a ton of fun. Like that's by far the best word I could use is fun, because you know, you'll have some definite characters out there, you know, which they'll liven it up for sure. So I think it's just going to be an all-around event that people won't forget.
So take me back to the summer of 2014 when you first came to the UK and you signed for what was Brayhead Clan. What were your first impressions of Matt Haywood when you met him?
Oh, it was great, man. I mean, the accent got me obviously at first, but, you know, the Yorkshire, but...
well done.
No, you know, the tea, you know, his cups of tea with the milk and the sugar, you know, we don't do that in North America, you know, the milk and the sugar with the tea and the biscuits, you know, I just thought that was hilarious. Every single day, every morning, he's got the tea going. But no, you know, he was really welcoming. We got on really, really well. You know, my wife really enjoyed his company as well. We all got on right. We had a really good group of guys that season, so it made it pretty easy. And it'll be cool to reunite with some of those guys and catch up and see how things are going these days. But no, Woody was I really enjoyed Woody right away. You know, I think we bonded right away. You know, the guys played two tests before games and we were right next to each other. Even last season, you know, we just goofing around all the time. And I really appreciate the British players in this league. I think you know, at times they can be undervalued, and, you know, I think guys like him should be overvalued. You know, they bring so much, and they mean so much to this league that I'm quite excited to represent his team and, you know, do my part to show my respect and try to earn some money for the guy that's, you know, be good for his family and his future and his kids. And, yeah, you know, I had a ton of fun my first year over here. I never really wanted to leave in the first place, but that's how the game goes at times. And I'm so happy to be here in this position at the moment, watching him captain this team and just have such a good year that playing in his game is just going to mean so much more.
Now, you've been here for a number of years now. I think this is your sixth season in the UK altogether. And you've mentioned that some of the guys that you've played with, some guys that you know haven't played against them maybe when you were at Sheffield. Are there any players that you haven't met yet that you're quite looking forward to meeting up with?
Yeah, you know, Kristanovich, he was kind of like a legend in Seattle where I played junior. He went through there. Lust is another, you know, name that floats around all the time here. You know, I've met his brother at times, but no, just in general, I've been fortunate enough to meet the majority of these guys. So it'll be that much more special, and you know, I'm gonna have to keep Finnerty under wraps here. You know, hopefully he's not out there trying to sabotage my players, but no, it's gonna be a great time. You know, looking forward to the dinner. You know, those are pretty good events, and you know, it's fun to hear some of the guys joking around a bit and some speeches. And I honestly look forward to just kind of sitting in the room and giving them the pregame speech about, you know, laying off on my players. No, I'm only kidding. It's gonna be a good event. I think it's something that, you know, obviously Clan fans haven't experienced yet, because it, you know, it could only come at this point in time, couldn't it? Sure. So to have that happen right at the 10-year mark, you know, a 10-year anniversary, you know, you got Mr. Haywood for his 10 years and Mr. Clan, I should be saying, I guess. It's quite an experience, and hopefully that tradition continues.
Now, you've played two games already in the Elite League this season. Is this the one you've been building up to? Is this the one you've been readying yourself for?
Absolutely. That's the only reason I'm practicing right now. These guys had no idea. I was getting ready to, you know, I'm just learning their tendencies, and I'm, you know, all the video I do every week is just to prepare my testimonial, you know, Mr. Haywood's testimonial team. Just, you know, I got all the systems under wraps. They're in trouble.
And finally, what's the one thing that makes you think of Matt whenever you hear his name? What's the first thing that leaps to your mind when you hear the name Matt Haywood?
I don't know if I can say that on here. No, I'm only joking. No, you know what? I would have to say T and Two Touch, and Doncaster, because I live down that way. I know where he's from, so I call him King Donnie, you know. The tea, the milk and the sugar, the biscuits, that was the first time I was exposed to that over here. Now, to be honest, he made me try it, and I love it, so I'll give him that one.
I'm Scott Tansky from the Glasgow Clan, and you're listening to the Clan Chat.
Zach Fitzgerald speaking to Clan Chat about his return to playing for Matt Haywood's testimonial. Incidentally, look out for next week's show, where I speak exclusively to Matt at length about his big night, as he talks to us about the organisation of the game and get to the bottom of why he's picked who he's picked for the game. Anyway, still to come, we hear from Elite League Media and Communications Manager Luke Fisher and Clan's Head of Business Development Jerry McLaughlin as we look ahead to the league-wide Pride weekend this week. Right now, we turn our attention to the current squad, and it's been a pretty special and busy week for netminder Jordan McLaughlin, who has enjoyed more minutes in the last couple of games, deputising for the injured Patrick Killeen. Results perhaps didn't go Clan's way, but Jordan did show what he's all about in the games against Nottingham and Belfast in the past week, and looked very, very capable. I spoke to him earlier this week and asked him how it felt to be getting some action at last.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good to get on the ice for a full game and really kind of show what I've got, really. Team on Thursday played really well, and Nottingham a full kind of 60 there. Just unlucky at the end with that penalty taking it into overtime. It makes it twice as hard to try and kill it off in overtime, and obviously they kind of get the lucky winner, I would say. But on the whole, Thursday was really good. Saturday were good for spells. We just kind of switched off for that kind of minute and a half, and Belfast are a good team, so they're going to punish you when you give them the chance, and that really killed us on Saturday. But on the whole, for me, it was good. It was a good learning experience for me, everyone positive for me, to be honest.
And we take you back to a couple of years ago, of course. You got your chance when you played with Edinburgh Capitals in what turned out to be their final season. You were playing back up to Tyler Beskarowani, a very talented goalie as well. You know, a couple of years on, does it feel the same, that feeling of playing Elite League ice hockey?
It's still as difficult as it was before. You still get obviously quite nervous and kind of nerve-wracking going in there, because obviously you've still got a little bit behind on the speed and stuff like that. But I do feel a lot more kind of confident and capable than what I did previously with the Caps. And I think it comes with possibly being kind of behind a better team. Obviously, we knew the Caps were struggling when I was in, so it was a bit more tough. But it's still the same kind of nervous excitement that you get playing in the biggest league of Britain.
What's it like when you're playing understudy to two very talented guys, and Beskarowani, as I've just mentioned, and Patrick Killeen as well? The two of them, you know, really out of this earth in many respects with the talent they have.
It's just it's great to learn from them. You can just watch them in practice and learn how they go about things, how they kind of prepare to get on the ice, how they move in the net and how they kind of approach the game. And obviously they're two different goalies with two different styles, so you can kind of pick up little things that help you in your own kind of style that are both kind of completely different. But it's great to learn from goalies like Killer and Vesco. They're amazing, and they're proper professionals, so it's only going to help me.
And is it fair to say that these guys coach you? You know, there isn't a designated coach for goalies. Fitzy was never a goalie in his time. You know, so you have to learn off these guys as well as basically try and steal what minutes you can from them.
You got to kind of take up on yourself just to learn kind of yourself, really. Obviously, there is no kind of designated goalie coach or that, so it's kind of really up to me just to get my head down, keep working, do extra drills whenever I can, and get extra reps and training whenever I can. And obviously with Killer being injured, it gives me a great chance to put all that kind of stuff into practice in a game, because obviously you're not going to really develop without the kind of game time, so it was good to get that and kind of practice what I've been learning. But it's really up to me just to kind of get my head stuck in and just learn.
Did you feel better prepared for full games, you know, considering the last time you played a full EIHL game was a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I felt a lot better prepared. I felt a lot more confident going into it as well, knowing that I've already played in the Elite League, I've already played against Belfast, I kind of know how they like to play. You know, like, little different things that obviously you didn't know the first time around. You know, obviously if a goal goes in, it's not the end of the world. You can just bounce back and keep going. Obviously that kind of minute and a half stretch was pretty tough, but that's another learning experience for me, is just to kind of keep sticking in there and keep working hard.
What's it like, though, for the long games where you're not getting any action? I remember speaking to Mike Will and Gary Russell in the past who've had the position you've been in before. You know, just having to keep yourself prepared, keep yourself ready, just on the chance that the coach gives you the call. That must be hard.
Yeah, it's a little bit tricky. But obviously, it helps that I'm quite young, so I know that I'm not expecting to play every game. Like, I know I'm here purely to learn. And that's kind of how I've approached it. Like, any ice I get is a complete bonus, to be honest. Obviously keep myself ready and prepared for every game, so that should something happen to Killer when he's in, I'm always ready to play, or even if Fitzy just wants to rest, I'm always there ready to play. But like I said, the ice time with me is just a complete bonus.
Now let's just quickly refer to the weekend there, the couple of games that you mentioned there, the Nottingham game on Thursday and then the Belfast game on Saturday that you played in. A couple of tough games in so many respects. What's the mood in the camp right now? Not a happy one from what I saw on Saturday night anyway.
No, team's frustrated. It's quite clear to see. Obviously, Saturday we fell asleep and we kind of lost the game. Obviously, our power play wasn't great either. But that's things that we just need to work on, get ahead in practice. We need to attack this week with the right attitude. We've obviously got another tough weekend coming up. So it's kind of clean slate. Just need to come back, work hard. Do the little things right, do the simple things right, and we'll find success that way, because we've shown it before how good a team we can be.
And of course this weekend it's three games. You go to Dundee on Friday, Belfast on Saturday, and then home to Fife on Sunday. Three teams all with something really valuable to play for in their own way. How tough a weekend is this going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a huge weekend for us, to be honest, going forward as well, because we're kind of in a dogfight here playing for a playoff spot as well. Every game is going to be massive for us from now to the end of the year. This weekend especially, with three teams that if we play a full 60 and we play our best, we're more than capable of beating. But it's just finding that consistency and finding that full 60 that's going to be the key to having success this weekend.
And is it fair to say the game on Friday, if you get a positive result there, it could give you a bounce going into the other two games?
Yeah, obviously a positive result on Friday makes kind of happier changing room, happier team going into Saturday and then Sunday as well. Obviously you want to start off on the right foot, and that's kind of basically the key, is we'll focus on Friday, then we'll focus on Saturday, then we'll focus on Sunday.
And of course this weekend it's the league's first ever Pride weekend as part of their You Can Play initiative. Everybody's talking about it. Are the guys in the locker room talking about it ahead of this weekend?
It's not been brought up too much, to be honest. Obviously we're aware of it and we know it's quite a big deal for the league and everyone's involved with it, but it doesn't really affect as much as players. We just know we need to go out there and play to our best and kind of give the fans a bit of a show.
Have you seen the jerseys yet? I think they've been kept under wraps just now.
No, we've not seen any of them yet. So
But it should bring a good atmosphere anyway. It's all in a good cause and helping promote the right message too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's definitely promoting the right message. Obviously, hockey is a game for everybody, no matter who you are or what you kind of believe in. It's important that these weekends kind of do exist and make sure that you send the right message.
And as for you, Killer's still out injured. We don't know how long he's going to be out for. Just take your chance and enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, it's all about me just kind of taking my chances when I get them. Obviously, Fizzy's putting his trust in me, so I'm hoping I can repay him as much as I can. And just learn from it, really. This week's been a bold blast for me, kind of getting to be a kind of starter, and just kind of take it from there and see where it goes.
Hey, Clan fans, Craig Moore here, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Clan netminder Jordan McLaughlin on his recent spell in goal. As you heard, I asked Jordan about the upcoming Pride weekend, which is being held across the league, and there's been a lot of excitement and media exposure as fans up and down the country prepare to celebrate inclusivity and spreading the word that you can play. There was a press conference held at a hotel in Glasgow earlier this week, as all three Scottish clubs came together to speak about the importance of Pride and the message being conveyed, as well as revealed the specially designed jerseys they'll wear, like the other teams in the Elite League. It's sure to be a great occasion, so I managed to chat to the Elite League media and communications manager, Luke Fisher, about the weekend to come, and I began by asking him about the origin of it.
Well, I mean, obviously we've had Cardiff do Pride nights for a few years now, and Sheffield did one last year, and then we had the playoffs. Started out as some Clan fans on social media, and then it kind of rapidly grew to being quite a lot of fans from quite a lot of teams wanting to do something about Hockey is for Everyone. And then for me, I mean, I only started working with the league last season. It was the first time I'd been to playoffs, and when I saw the Hockey is for Everyone stuff, I thought, okay, wow, this is pretty impressive, and this tells us that this is important to the fan base, actually, that we celebrate the fact that actually hockey is a very safe space for people across lots of different fan bases, but that we also promote that it is and should be.
So how important is it for the teams to forge links with the community? That was something you mentioned in the press conference. That was something you were keen for all teams to do. Why was that?
Yeah, I mean, we could have gone and partnered with Stonewall or another national organisation for this weekend, and what we thought was actually these teams all have a good role to play in their own communities, and they have links in their communities. So actually having a hockey team in that community do something together with LGBTQ plus organisations is really positive, actually. It's kind of, we can promote what we've already got from a sense that hockey is this really inclusive thing where everyone mixes together, and as long as you cheer for your team, no one really seems to matter where you're from, what your gender identity is, or anything like this. And we wanted teams to go and forge those relationships and open those channels, because it makes these relationships more than just a night. You know, once you've got Coventry partnering with Coventry Pride, that hopefully opens it up for future, that they can do something together, and you wouldn't get that if we just had a national partner.
And of course, being in Glasgow, of course, there's already a link between Glasgow Clan and the local LGBT community as well. From your point of view in helping promote this, that must be encouraging from your point of view.
That's great. I mean, the three teams in Scotland, I have to be really honest, what they're doing here is absolutely fantastic. Like what Fife, and I know this is for Clan, but you know, Fife doing things with schools. I wasn't even aware that schools in Fife had LGBTQ plus movements in their schools, and that's amazing when you think of that, and what Dundee have with TFM and what the Clan have here. It's so good that, you know, everyone's throwing themselves into this really deeply and getting involved and making these connections, which can only, I think, benefit everybody in the long term.
And when you see the encouragement, you're on social media all the time, you see the reaction, you know, it must make you proud, the fact that everybody's really embracing this and looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, the fact that we got all 10 teams agreeing without question, yeah, let's do this, was great to start with, because everyone always says, oh, were there any teams that weren't interested in doing it? And the answer is categorically not. Everyone was really up for doing this from the beginning. And yeah, like, I think we don't appreciate as much how good our fans are, actually, especially with playoffs. Everyone's there from all 10 teams, no problems. You know, every hockey game we have almost on a weekly basis, you don't hear of things that you might hear in other sports or in other leagues around the world. And the fact that the hockey fans are so great like that really is something to be proud of and something that we should be promoting.
So of course every team's doing their own thing for each particular night, we'll get word on the plan on that, but from a league point of view, what's the plan for the weekend in terms of what you guys are all doing?
Yes, so we have the Pride Pucks that are on their way to be here, so we want to do a ceremonial puck drop before each game and have teams inviting people from the different organisations in their communities to come and do that drop and actually make a moment on the ice, because we can do what we like off the ice, but I think actually having it visible at the rinks is really good as well. So we have the Pride Pucks. Fans can win some Pride Pucks. We're going to give some away on social media. If you post photos of yourself in Pride colours with hashtag Pride Weekend, we'll pick some people there randomly to win some of them. And then we are hopefully going to have a video, depending when this goes out or not, may or may not have been published already, that we want to use on social media, and we also want to use it on the screens as well in the arenas to kind of give the message about why we're doing this weekend.
So as great a weekend as this is going to be, and I'm certainly looking forward to it, it's not going to be a one-off, is it? We're going to see more of this in the future?
I really hope so. As I said in the press conference, I spoke at decent length with the SHL about the Pride weekend they do there in Sweden, and while we're not going to be at the level to have a national newspaper backing us like they do, we can grow this over different years. And speaking to You Can Play, what they said to us was, what you're doing in the first year is actually pretty incredible. For some sports, just getting every team on board with the idea is an achievement in itself, but when you look at what the different teams are doing, and we have one of the games on TV and all things like that, it's really good.
I'm Nolan Laporte, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Luke Fisher of the Elite League discussing this weekend's Pride and You Can Play initiative. Clan will be heavily involved, of course, and actually help to kick the weekend off when they go to Dundee Stars on Friday night in a live televised game on Free Sports, facing off at 7:30 p.m. with the pre-game coverage with Aaron Murphy, Paul Adey and Chris Ellis beginning at 7 p.m. Zach's men head to Belfast on Saturday, face off at 7 p.m. before returning home to take on the Fife Flyers at 4:30 on Sunday, and in keeping with the theme, will have their own things going on around Brayhead Arena. To find out more, I had a chat with our own head of business development, Jerry McLaughlin, at the press conference earlier this week, and he's very excited about the days ahead.
It's fantastic, isn't it? The fact that there's a league-wide Pride weekend, I'm pretty sure it must be the first one in any pro sports league that I can think of. It's a fantastic thing, and there's a real source of actual club pride as well, that it's come from our fan base that's originally taken it upon themselves, all those themes that there were at the playoff finals weekend, and then that great groundswell of opinion that there should have been one around Pride. And you know, it's just something that's been natural. When we're talking to people about the club, we always go on about the fact there's a 51% female fan base, and that always takes people by surprise in Glasgow. I find, they're like, really, that's really interesting. You're like, well, it's just a good place for anyone to come. It's not like specifically for women, it's just for everyone. And then that's just grown and grown, a bit like the Pride movement itself, to encompass more and more people, and just to show that, you know, hockey is for everyone. So it's great that that message is now being rolled out across the league. I think it's something the Clan fans can take particular pride in, and then now to show it and have the players all wearing the rainbow colours, and there'll be pucks, and we're going to have all sorts of merchandise as well. I think there's been mentions of it being a Pride weekend down at the playoffs as well. That's going to be a huge part of it. So it carries on. So it starts with this weekend, and then just is always there. Just always happens.
I mean, the club have always participated in Pride events. Certainly more recently, we've seen Clangus go to the Pride March and things like that. So the links were already there for the club to start with. So you're already tapping into a community that already know about the Clan as well.
Yeah, totally. And I think there's like a lot of fans. Fans are obviously the best people for telling other folk why hockey's so good. You know, it's word of mouth all the time. And I think that message getting out there that everyone's welcome, people can come with their partners, people can come with their kids, people can come with their families. You know, it really is for everyone. It makes it difficult marketing hockey because there's no specific market. But I mean, this is a great way of letting everyone know, and letting all the cities. I mean, we're all here today, and it's the three Scottish clubs, and great on Luke and the guys in the league for bringing the team together. And we need to be doing more of that, marketing the three clubs together as well as marketing the league. But it's very difficult because all these clubs are all very different businesses, and they've all got their different aims or in different situations. But where we have common aims, we should be getting together doing stuff like this. So it's going to be a fantastic weekend to see all the clubs wearing these Pride jerseys and playing against each other.
By the time this goes out, the jerseys will be out there. Everybody will see that the design. It's an absolute cracker.
Yeah, do you like it?
I love it.
Yeah, it looks good. And you know, it's funny because you know, we do all these different designs and jerseys, and not all of them are going to hit the mark for everyone. But I do think this one's going to be widely appreciated, and people are going to get behind the cause. And working with Pride Glasgow as well, it's been great to see that they're delighted to hear something like this is happening and their involvement. And hopefully, we'll get more fans from it, and more people will get brought into hockey.
So our home game's on Sunday when we play the Five Flyers. What is going to happen at Brayhead Arena on Sunday afternoon?
So obviously, other than the jerseys, we've got flags, pucks, hoodies, t-shirts, things for people. We're going to be, obviously, there's going to be a donation going to Pride Glasgow. We've got puck drops from Pride Glasgow as well, and then we'll be doing auctioning off the jerseys at the end.
Just a great weekend.
Yeah, it should be great.
I'm Craig Peacock and you're listening to Clan Chat.
That was Jerry McLaughlin you just heard talking about the Pride weekend at Brayhead Arena this week. That's just about us for this week, and one more task on the list is to solve the clan conundrum for you. And at the beginning of the show, I asked a question in reference to the Hogmanay 5-1 win for Clan over Five Flyers. Who was the Clan player who picked up 3 assists in the game? That man was number 21, Mikael Lidhammer, and well done if you got it right. There'll be another conundrum for you next week.
I'm Matt Cowlett and you're listening to Clan Chat.
That's it for this episode of Clan Chat, and as always, a quick reminder to you to buy your tickets for Sunday's big game against Five Flyers. Face off at 4:30 p.m. so get those now at clanihc.com. Tickets are still available and on sale for Matt Haywood's testimonial on Tuesday the 4th of February, getting ever closer, and you'll get those on Ticketmaster. Make sure you're going to be part of a special night. Don't forget, next week's Clan Chat is an exclusive and lengthy interview with Mr. Clan himself ahead of his testimonial, so look out for that. In the meantime, for the latest news around the club, check out the website, or if you haven't yet, don't forget to like the official Facebook page or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at ClanIHC. I want to extend my thanks to Ash Goldie, Zach Fitzgerald, Jordan McLaughlin, Jerry McLaughlin, no relation, and Luke Fisher for their time and contribution this week, and of course thanks to producer Stuart Priest for his work this week. Finally, my biggest thanks to you as always for listening and downloading, and we'll be back soon for more from around the Glasgow Clan. You can also subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and Audioboom, and please leave a review telling us what you like, don't like, want to hear more of or want to hear less of. All feedback is welcomed. I'm Craig Anderson and we'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.